doesn't have a title, but I'll just read, I guess. I bite my lip and hold my tongue polite. I show up for his face and swear that it's all grand. That goddamn social construct I can't abide by how those flighty fancies define, I pray. I'll take your hand, and Christ, I won't let go. For God so loved the world, but loved me too. He gave me heart and then, in spite, a mind. For God can't hold a love as raw as mine. Oh, you can pray and hope he'll have my soul on Judgment Day, but that won't be my goal. For if he turns and finds me half asleep, I'll tell him that it's for my love I keep. I hold on mine own vice and virtue strong, and for my love live in eternal song. But if you pray for hell my soul to keep, I pray for you, your own love find you deep, among the brambles, thorns and weeds so old, for you have spent your love in hellish cold. You own and serve the very hate you damn, 'twill fester then and spread to your own man. And then I'll pray for your man, and then I'll pray your man for to escape that anti-human sadness filled with hate. For I so love the world in all its good, I will protect my world away from you. And I'll share love, and love again I'll show, to cure the human illness, that's my goal. Throughout all this, my human life and yours, I will hold love abroad and bring it towards. And if that day should come when you switch on, I'll hold you to abreast my prodigal song.
Next up is Alan Andrew.
Okay, I have two small poems. The first one is inspired by this Australian film I watched about this couple that was schizophrenic, and they were taking a medication called Stelrazine for the schizophrenia. I found that so beautiful, the name, that I decided to write this poem. So it's called Stelrazine. Inveterate high, beautiful corpses swim in the sky. Traveling is my pastime, high on Stelrazine. Painfully shy, trying hard not to cry. Blue eyes, I'll be fine, floating light on Stelrazine. Even if I know my heart will shatter, blue eyes, it doesn't matter, because I'll be protected from love and time with heavy doses of Stelrazine. Have a smoke, take a rest, green-eyed girls from Bucharest, shaky images, blurred lines, side effects from Stelrazine. A Sunday morning, a glass of wine, sharing pills with my bloody Valentine. Your cyanide smile is my secret sign, shooting classmates at lunchtime. Peppermint sunsets give off a strange shine just after taking my daily dose of Stelrazine. And this last one is from, I wrote to my son when I had to take care of him while his mom was out working, so what's been up to me. So it's basically like this. Letting it flow, making it go, drinking warm beer in the afternoon glow. While my beautiful son sleeps, I make the most of the time I can. Open a beer, get some CDs, dad's little rock and roll scan. On the starry blankets of uncountable stars, like a guardian I sleep by my slumbering son. With headphones on, listening to golden guitars, to us both, mom will soon come. And nobody will ever know dad's secret afternoon moment of rock and roll.
Please
welcome Charles Clark.
Hello. Charles Stark, aka Robert Lowell. just something I found this evening, and I found one or two things about it. This is a very well-known volume. for the Union Dead, published what exactly 50 years ago in England, but curiously the title poem was a friend of mine ran round to me with a typescript of this in a year that must have been before 1965. Anyway, I used to teach the very first poem in this, and I thought I might as well read it. I think I put people off with this, but still. Water. It was a Maine lobster town. Each morning, boatloads of hands pushed off for granite side of quarries on the islands and left dozens of bleak white frame houses stuck like oyster shells on a hill of rock. And below us, the sea lapped the raw little matchstick wazes of a weir, where the fish for bait were trapped. Remember? We sat on a hip slab of rock. From this distance in time, it seemed the color of iris, rotting and turning purple. But it was only the usual gray rock turning the usual green when drenched by the sea. The sea drenched the rock at our feet all day and kept tearing away flake after flake. One night you dreamed that you were a mermaid clinging to a wharf pile and trying to pull off the barnacles with your hands. We wished our souls might return like gulls to the rock. In the end, the water was too cold for us.
Thank you, Charles and Robert. Next up, we have Matt.
I'm just reading it off of a poem. Jude.
Hi.
Ben, can I use your knee? It was yet another one of those somber days, those somber days where gravity feels like a stone and the density of hunger is outweighed by thirst. It was just another one of those days. It was Remembrance Sunday, and I tippled a stout in honor of all those fallen soldiers whose lives were quenched so that we may have ours. My patriotism, however, felt bleak, as I no longer respected my essence. Twisting, turning cycle was regarded upon my ever-darkening iris. It was yet another one of those darkened days where I could no longer sing and I could no longer dance. And so I drowned.
Thank you, Sean. So
this is a poem about if you ever see online on Facebook or blogs or something, or like YouTube, like they have comment sections, and sometimes you get people coming into these comment sections being like, you know, oh, my sister's cousin made $50 an hour online by doing whatever, and you get these other people when they see that going like, look at this person, such an obvious like scam, like you'd want to be an idiot to fall for that, you know? You see that a lot online. And this is kind of a song about people like that. Or a poem about people like that. It's just a heavy jam. All right, one sec. So this is called Encounter with a Bot. A bot, by the way, is like an automated like robot that leaves these messages on these comment sections, you know, trying to scam people. A bot bombed the scene, dropping comments in comment sections saying, look at me. I learned this lesson. now my funds have no recession. Suspicious they were, the people there in the comments section, as most would be. They rained upon it with mockery, linking pics, memes of the season, poking jokes at feeble readers. Oh, none have thread the spider's web as adeptly as we three. This spam will offer hollow hopes, an hour for easy money. Promises snaring novices, obvious as trolling sprees. Let it lure them in. Let them feel what it's like to be eaten. How easily the victims blamed, I thought as I watched them talk. As if they were gods of guile, never led on a walk by weaves of code or an email with a grand show. Be it here or far, someone's charmed. It's worked before, it'll work more. The Trojan horse of Troy rearranges the splinters of its mane, the colours of his hooves, engravings on his face, and searching new places, it lays a trap, is welcomed in and sucks the sap. But is this bot just typing a lie? I mean, come on, perhaps it's a vision of life in that line of work. It might be, you know, going around to different comment sections, receiving comments from other jesters. I mean, how quick we are to assume the worst. What if they really make money? What if... Better stop. I think it's working.
Thanks, Sean. Patricia Walsh, is here.
Just to continue with the internet thing, anybody who's ever surfed the internet will come across this at least once. Like you click on a broken link and it says 404 not found. This is about the limits of human technology. As prominent as a headstone, as sticking for detail as this, just where I fell, it cannot be stopped. Riding the internet with a purpose, this happens at my crucial moment, hiding a barbed wire electric fence. No one hides their light under a bushel, nor sinks their talent underground. But a broken link engenders swearing, a want destroyed, eaten underfoot my God knows what, hiatus of anger, a fist through the screen. Roundabout measures face all this, a sideways slide under a nail, an open pleasures dance at the moment, instantaneously a blank stare spikes back, matching eyeball to eyeball, tooth for tooth, a syringe of anger light fighting back. Technology will burn us, but not so quickly. Humanity will be obsolete, but not too soon. The flames too onerous to do real harm. For this memorial, I praise flames forever. They can never overtake me, seated as I am, at a vista of imperfection, a screen of fate. Thanks.
Thanks, Patricia. Please welcome our five-word champion, Max Frieden.
I'll be smaller. I'm just going to do smaller, but some. Chats my arm. I'll miss a few notes, but this is just at the weekend, the little French film festival. Tommy Unger was there. I don't know if you have heard of him, but he's an amazing cartoonist. Yeah, he had it. When I was a child, we used to get his books from America and I used to adore them. And of course, you know, as I got older, I realised he had a slightly other side to him. And I just felt that I realised he was actually a brilliant kind of a military cartoons that he did. There were satires on Vietnam and that. So the story I loved the most, and they did it in the film, was Moon Man, about the moon having a little man in there and the children really connecting with them. And it was a bit like E.T. coming to Earth. So I loved the film. But straight away I kind of wrote a song along the car, so it might be a bit cheeky to do it so quickly. But it was my adult response maybe for the sequel. So I took it to the more mature theme of it. So my voice pulled up. Yeah.
my room. He's given me the eye. Whatever I do, he sees through each move. He's so smooth and so shy. Explain, I'm hard to attain. There's a whole world between us.
What an anger.
Even light years away, another planet I'd say. He's Mars and I'm Venus. Oh man, why can't we come to go far or move on tonight? There's a cloud.
I hear
it. There's a cloud on the earth who strays to my heart. My gravity pulls and she's quite a little tease. There's no need to flirt, I'm just moon rock and dust. I'm on your wasting your chances. My soul is a crater, no gravity either, centripetal dancer. Why can't we plan to take the new world to mine? No land like that is for us to hold hands. Let's take the new world.
Thanks, Max. Next up, please welcome Shane Vaughn.
Yes, sir. This is something that I wrote during the Spring Poetry Festival, and I had a workshop with Jo Shapka, and one of the things she was telling us to try and get outside of your own styles and stuff. So I wrote this from the point of view of a woman, so that was interesting. So I'm sorry if I terribly offend all of the women. It's called Never, Ever, Not Ever. No, don't call me the apple of your eye. An apple for an eye will make you blind, and who will pay the lobotomist to pluck the seed from your mind? Don't laugh and tell me it's one of my five a day. I don't have five of anything except fingers and toes, and you can't have those. I need you to starve on me. Don't hold steady and think I can't replace you just because I kiss your knuckle and let those tooth scratch nails into me. Don't tell me not to leave. I have 2 feet and I remember how to walk. I forgot it old, but learned it young. Don't tell me not to leave. I will go where nobody knows I am scum.
Yeah, thanks. I wrote this poem about sculpture in the Crawford Art Gallery by the Northern Irish sculptor F.E. McWilliams. It's entitled Woman in a Bomb Blast, and it deals with a victim of the Abercorn bombing in 1972, which mainly killed a lot of women and children, shoppers, both Protestant and Catholic. And you can go see the sculpture if you like. Or, yeah, so. Once she was tripped up on the high street, rough lads roared as she thrashed in the smother of her skirts, and she swore never to be shamed again. Crossing her legs nicely in the Abercorn Cafe, Artemis cast her gaze upon the crowd. But the bomb blast wrapped itself around her, gel and limb and jag brazing in hate. Her slag run off into the street, till all that seemed to be left were pranks of thumbs and teeth, buttons blasted into eyes, her own eyes into buttons, and a bold as brass taste of burnt flesh. Only the sculptor saw, and grafted back in place, that final moment of poise, when, elbows arched, sinews drawn, she turned out her soles, flexed her knees, and danced against a bomb in a riot of drapery.
Thank you, Bernadette. Please welcome Philip Spillane.
Not me.
Hello everyone. I'm afraid to give an introduction to this one, but it's not about me at all. I think it's just about life in general, about fears we have. Dear God, tonight's the night I'm going to die. This false shadow that arises from false beams of light that originate from comfort bungalows, street lamps, and crazy vehicles that whiz by. It blotches over my sky and blinds me from all the stars and their dead constellations. It used to soothe my nerves and worries of paths I may have crossed on my journey. What shall your shepherds follow now, when they have no blinding crystal phenomenons to guide them? What should they follow when you send them a star? Visit thy kin? Forgive me, but it's a fear of mine. Some may notice the illusion of the vanishing stars. I may understand the fear that I'm in, but not as crazy. You see, I now realize that the purpose of the constellations covered, all the beauty supernovas, red dwarfs, blue giants, and young folder stars. It means that tonight I'm going to die. Worse than my sin of tricking Hercules, where I lent my life to this lion-maned Jesus, to help him cunningly and never to return. However, your ugly purpose of life forced me back to return to my spot and hold the sky yet again for your purpose. And although I shall miss the eternal weight, pain, strain, stress, and worry of holding thy sky for all thy flock, my happy moment in my job is gone. Tonight's the night I'm going to die. Hope you're keeping well, your beloved Atlas. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Philip. Cedric is next.
Well, this one is well, this one is entitled because it was written like half an hour ago. It's more about this the thing I have with dreams and what they bring to us and what we try to achieve when we dream and when we do not dream. And the entangled reality between reality and dream. It's the same story again. The hero faces the dragon, monster, giant spider, evil hoover, whatever. The kids are happy with it, and their delight, in other words, makes mine a whole lot brighter. As I succumb to slumber, I allow myself an honest yawn. Shut close the book to free the monsters, which quickly are gone. They meet again on neutral ground, where the children fall asleep, and picture a place where peace, truth, and no faults are found. Their innocence, well kept, is at play, and I am on the watch. With the door finally locked, I can put the sword away. The night is here. The day weighed down on my reason. I go and lie down, falling asleep, give in to the delusion. The monsters are not so nice here. Numbers, owners, employers, commuters, whatever. Anything that can fuel a fear. But fear I do not feel, even in this nightmare, as I know what makes it. It's the daylight that I battle always, reality in disguise or stripped bare. With the bird chirps and the children's steps, come the reward well deserved. Another chance to tame the beast, to keep the evil away, make them my pets. My pets. And at night, when the little ones return, the hero will be there, ever ready. Faithful, righteous, victorious, until they don't believe it. It will be the same story again.
Thanks, Cedric. I wish my poem sounded that good when they're only 30 minutes young. Our next act is I know we suggested they come back, and I'm glad they took our advice. Falume and Artem? I know I'm botching your names, I'm really sorry. So please introduce yourselves.
Falume and Artem.
We leave, we burn, we die, we never lose our eyes. Words are empty in the moment of truth.
Fire cracks, the down twigs whisper, an old boy content shares his observation. The haze is over the horizon, what happens if I could not trust you?
White pages, still the essence, distance of pleasure, infinite void. The void is full, and all is around you. I'm a crystal, a spark of light, a reflection of light, nothing else.
In my forced content, I loathe for expression, lost outside of imagination. Where is this depth? I always go deeper, constantly defined corners, language body-wise and feelings, so defined, yet so capable of love. Is there a limit outside of ego? Fallen balance, unstuck in space and time. Hummingbird, drawing out infinity across the continent. The journey is your meaning. True freedom, ecstasy of moment. Cage escaped, I trust and listen.
Two galaxies exploding in a sacred interconnection, overlapping each other, reflecting each other, expanding each other to opposite infinite distances. I'm your mirror, reflecting what you are. Let's play this new show.
Siobhan Tanner. We have two short poems. The family tree. All day I see red, yellow, and purple, while I imagine a royal line that flowed from ancient kings to me, a vein of a mighty tributary, splayed like roots of a tree. The same branches in my heart, through which blood flows, carrying rocks and obstacles that psychologists call degenerate, and the doctor of genetic predisposition to heart disease. But I know it's just debris, carried by my family stream. Making shapes. I thought of going to Tai Chi class, but smoked a joint and moved around the room instead, like a spider at the center of a web, nimbly spinning legs and arms, organizing into patterns the thread of my possessions. And forest smells wafted from an oil burner, from juniper trapped inside a bottle, while the essence made animal shapes with this human vessel.
Last but not least is Karan McCartan.
Thanks, Mom. So the two quick announcements. There's an audition notice going out. We're doing a play at the end of April, the first weekend in May. It's an original play that my friend Simon Moriarty wrote. There's auditions this Wednesday, Thursday and Friday in the Connolly buildings in UCC. And if you want to audition, just email strivetheatre12@gmail.com. And yeah, come and audition. Lots of roles, lots of people. And there's also a play, as I find your project, this week in the Connolly building as well. It's free and 6:30 from Tuesday to Saturday. And it was written by our class, basically. We did like different scenes, wrote different scenes, directed different scenes. Set in a hospital, it's called Cold Time. This is a poem. It's called The Release You Bring. It means more to see your eyes rise as mine meet them than to indulge in petty pits of aggression. For grievances that never existed before I gave them breath and exist no more now that I have met your eyes. Thank you.
Good evening. This one's a Swedish song. Maybe one day I'll be able to sing it. Now I will just express it through the vibe. Okay. It's called Min Skog. It means my forest.
Thank you.